17 years now later, we find ourselves, you know, with a mortgage, three kids. I think about the things we've been through. Think about loved ones who have gone on to be with the Lord. I think about, you know, finishing our education and, you know, all that. Think about places where we've moved and some of the transitions we've been through, friends that we've made, friends we've had to say goodbye to. You know, there's ups and downs in your life together as husband and wife. And today I want to just kind of point out for you through several Proverbs, really how Proverbs speaks words of wisdom about marriage. Now you might say, you know, well is this just for married people? Well, it is for married people. It's for people who maybe want to get married. This is for people who've been married, might hope to get married again. This is for folks who have family members who are married. This sermon is for people who can spell marriage. I mean, this sermon is for all of us, all right? Because understand this, marriage is an institution of God that really is experiencing attack. It's something that we need to fight for. And here's what I want to tell you today. I think the Bible tells us how we can have stronger marriages. And I want to just highlight for you today a few of those strategies based off the book of Proverbs. Because a lot of people have kind of become cynical about marriage. I think about what the actor Woody Allen said about marriage. And listen to his cynicism. He said, there are three rings involved with marriage. The engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffering. That's what he said. I mean, that's not the attitude we want to have, but that's how often the culture and society looks at marriage. They look at it as something that's not going to work anyway. And then I'm drawn to what the pastor David Jeremiah said, and I think there's a lot of truth in what he says. He says, marriage can be a classroom where people become wiser and better, or a prison where they become resentful and bitter. I hope we'll see that marriage is a classroom, that marriage isn't meant to be looked at with cynicism. So let me give you five strategies, and the first one particularly I'm gearing towards predominantly is going to be a lot of our youth here in the room today. It's this strategy: get off to a good start. Get off to a good start. Now before I get into that for a few minutes, let me just say this. Let's say this: you find yourself in a marriage where you're a believer in Christ. But now you're married to a person who's an unbeliever in Christ. The Bible does not tell you to just, you know, chalk it all up, throw it to the wind, and walk out of it. No, actually, the Bible makes it very clear. You need to be praying for your unbelieving spouse. You need to be ministering to them. You need to be showing them grace and mercy because, hey, let's face it, you are the closest and best witness in their life. I would pray you won't be the only witness, but listen, understand, you may have a cross to bear there, and you may have an opportunity that I will never have, all right? But I want you to hear that a strategy that ought to be embraced is, I tell you what, it can be on a much firmer, solid foundation in building a marriage if you get off to a good start. And I'm just going to give you three C's to remember under this strategy that kind of make it memorable for you. First of all, I wrote down the word Christ. The word Christ, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, reminds us of this great key principle in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. You see, that's where it needs to start for us. Listen, our lives must start centered on Jesus Christ, not leaning on our own understanding, but trusting Him, trusting the Lord. Now I want you to take the book of Proverbs, turn to the last chapter. Look at Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 makes this statement, and it helps us to understand how Christ is so important as a foundation to our marriages and getting off to a good start. Proverbs 31, verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You know, oftentimes we look for charm. Oftentimes we look for beauty. But the fear of the Lord is key. Now, Proverbs 31 oftentimes is viewed as, well, this is kind of the checklist. This is kind of the outline for the women. It doesn't say really, you know, much for us as guys. Well, understand this. The book of Proverbs, when it talks about marriage, oftentimes gears it towards what the guy should look for, because at this time in history, in this particular culture, oftentimes the ladies didn't always have a whole lot to say about the choosing or the picking of the mate. Oftentimes, the guys were getting to do that, or there was like prearranged marriages. So understand, Proverbs 31, ladies, it certainly is a great passage of Scripture just to encourage you in kind of this model of womanhood, but also really understand what King Lemuel is giving to the other princes who aren't married yet. He's saying, hey, listen, these are some things you ought to keep in mind when you begin to look for your queen, when you begin to look for your so-called better half. I'm telling you, it starts with us seeking Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? Step one to a strong marriage and finding that husband, that wife that the Lord wants for you is seeking Him and His wisdom and His favor. Now, hand in hand with that is something else you ought to look for. You ought to look for character. You ought to lean on Christ. You ought to look for character. You ought to look for character. Proverbs 31, by the way, is all about a person's character. It talks about them having a good work ethic. It talks about your mate being a good financial steward. It talks about how your mate reacts towards those in need. It talks about helping the poor and showing mercy. It talks about building up your mate. It talks about how a wife with character will actually build up her husband and will support him in his leadership. You know, when you look at Genesis chapter 3 at the beginning of the Bible with that first marriage, for instance, what you see right there is you see conflict in the marriage and you see absolute rebellion against God. And I'm telling you, if you want to get off to a good start, what has to happen is saying, listen, Jesus, we're going to lean on you. We're going to lean on Christ. Instead of just looking for this and looking for that, we're going to look for character. That's why I'm encouraging you. Read the book of Proverbs. Over like 70 times in the book of Proverbs, it tells you what a fool is like, what it is to be foolish. Those are the things you don't want to look for. You want to look for a person of character. Look for a person of character. Proverbs 31 verse 10 says, an excellent wife who can find. Sometimes it can seem like it's hard to find a person that is excellent. That's the idea of character, of noble character. So getting off to a good start, lean on Christ, look for character, and then counsel is the other C word, counsel. You ought to listen to counsel. Proverbs talks a lot about counsel. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 15, 22. You know, I'm fine with it being many, many, many years from now that our daughter, comes to me talking to me about a guy, all right? I know that day's gonna come. But I know I really mean this sincerely. I hope what her mother and I desire for her matters to her. Students, let me just kind of say a word to you for a moment and for younger folks in here, and for really anyone. Listen, if you don't want your small group leader, if you don't want your Bible study teacher, if you don't want your folks, I'm just assuming they love the Lord, if you don't want them to know whom you're kind of scoping out or whom you're kind of got some interest in or whom maybe you're kind of already dating or who you put down as in a relationship with on Facebook or whatever, or who you met one day, who you may be thinking about getting married to, wherever you might be in that whole scheme of things, I'm telling you what, man, listen. I hope if you can't in confidence bring them there, bring him or her there, then you really need to seek the Lord again. I hope godly counsel will matter to you. I hope godly counsel will matter to you. I think it's key to getting off to a good start. All right, well, let's say, okay, now you are married. Where do we go from here? How do you make the marriage stronger? That's where the rest of these kind of focus in on. So here's your second strategy. First is get off to a good start, but here's number two. All right, now here's what you got to do. Admit your sinful bent and accept God's saving grace. Man, you need to admit your sinful bent. Like I said, in Genesis chapter 3, we see, man, that husband and wife, man, they are sinners. Listen, here's the deal. I am bent towards sinning. I am not bent towards building up my wife. I'm kind of bent at times towards tearing her down. I'm bent towards looking out for myself. Me, myself, and I. I'm kind of bent towards my own selfishness. Romans chapter 7, verse 15, Paul said, I don't understand my own actions. I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I mean, there are times in marriage where you'll be like, wow, why did I do that? Why did I say that to her? Or why didn't I do this? I'll tell you, a place to get going and having a stronger marriage is just admitting flat out, hey, we are sinners. We have sinful bents, and we desperately need God's saving grace. We need to experience God's grace, and we need to be quick to extend God's grace. I think Proverbs highlights a couple examples of this sinful bent. One is what I call the sin of neglect. The sin of neglect. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 8, we get this imagery of a bird and a nest. Proverbs 27, 8, like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. I tell you guys, something that we need to deal with is our sinful bent towards neglecting our own home. It's interesting to do some research. A lot of us, you maybe kind of think, well, you know, it's the ladybird that's kind of watching after the eggs. But actually, there are several types of birds where the male takes great responsibility in caring for and taking care and watching out for the nest. This is a picture right here of what's called a bluebird. This particular bluebird, it's the male who's a little bit lower down with that blue head, and he's on the lookout. You see, there, you know, guys, I mean, a lot of us in here, man, we wouldn't think of not cutting our grass once a week. We wouldn't think of not trimming the bushes. We wouldn't think of letting 20,000 miles pass on our car without us changing the oil. I tell you, there's a sin to watch out for. It's the sin of neglect. And then there's another sin I wrote down that you see a lot in Proverbs. It's the sin of quarreling. Proverbs 21:9 says, it is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. By the way, this is repeated like verbatim. One of the only verses of the Bible that actually is repeated verbatim more than, you know, twice. Chapter 25, verse 24, it says like the same thing. It's better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. He must have been having a bad day that day, you know, with the wife, you know. Quarreling. At first, I had written down the word nagging, the sin of nagging. And then actually, I never hardly do this, but last week I said, hey, hon, I asked my wife, I said, just come look, Jennifer, here at this and kind of see how my thoughts are coming together. And the first thing she said, I don't like that word nagging. She said, take that out. That's an old-fashioned word or whatever. And so I just went with the Bible word. I just kept it as quarreling. Quarreling. You know what I'm talking about. The Bible describes it as a drip. 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 Like a water drip. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. I don't know about you, man, like in the middle of the night, drip, drip. It can be a drop of water. And it sounds like a fire alarm going off. I'm like, what is that? Where is that? I mean, I'm ready to tear out the sink and everything. You know how I am around the house. I can be destructive when I want to, all right? I mean, it's like, you know, I'm like, man, what is going on here? And it's like, that's the picture, quarreling, just quarreling. Now, ladies, I'm not just picking on you because men listen to this from Proverbs. Proverbs 26:21, as charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. It's like we're just stirring stuff up, just starting some mess, all right? You know, hey, listen, I've probably known just as many quarrelsome men as I have quarrelsome women. It's a warning here. I just wanted you to see a couple examples of our sinful bent. You see, before we can deal with the sin, man, we gotta acknowledge the sin, don't we? We gotta see the problem. So I'm telling you, admit it. Admit it and then ask for God's saving grace. Think about how Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26 tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Why? It goes on. That he might sanctify her. If someone is already perfect and made holy, they don't need sanctifying. They're sanctified. The Bible tells us there that we're a work in progress, man. We've got to continue to strive against sin, and we've got to do that battle against that sin nature. I hope that makes sense to you. The third strategy, I think, is a practical way to try to encourage each other in the Lord, to encourage us to build up instead of tearing down our homes. Thirdly, write it down. Here it is. Say the right words at the right time. That's very practical. Say the right words at the right time. Proverbs talks a lot about our speech and our communication. In fact, next week, Memorial Day weekend, I will preach on the whole issue of communication. I hope you'll be here for it. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. This is why when John Gray wrote his book, Men Are From Mars and Women or from Venus, he makes a big point about communication. He says one of the reasons that he gave it that title and kind of gives that thought that we're from two different planets is he says men and women communicate at times in very different ways. And like I said, that's a whole other talk for another time. But listen, communication is key. You know, I think about you guys, Jonathan. I mentioned this in one of the other services. You know, Jonathan and Brittany are involved in our ministry here, getting married next week. You know, next Sunday, you know, be the first day of their full day of their married life together. And besides listening to my sermon on the internet, you know, they're going to have a great honeymoon and all that. And he said something, and he doesn't mind me sharing this, as we spent some time together talking, one day he looked at me and he said, it sounds like in all of our discussions together, what you're saying is communication is so very important. This all seems to be about communicating. And I'll tell you what, isn't it true? Some of y'all have been married a lot longer than me in here. Communication is the key to unlocking a successful marriage, is it not? Communication is so key. Saying the right words at the right time. And that's where we got to be careful when there's conflict. Be careful with that silent treatment. Read about this couple, this married couple had a fight, and they ended up kind of giving each other the silent treatment for like a week. I can't imagine that. Well, the man went to bed early one night. He had an early morning flight, a 5 a.m. flight the next day, and so he decided he would write his wife a note, and he said, listen, he wrote on the note, wake me at 5 a.m. I need to catch an early flight. Well, the next morning, woke up, the sun woke him up, the sun shining in his bedroom window. He looked over the clock, it's 9 a.m., and he got up, man, he was going to go downstairs and just give her what for, and then he looked by the side of his pillow, and there was a note. Wake up, it's 5 a.m. You see, it didn't do him any good. You see, communication is critical. We got to learn to talk to each other, folks, saying the right words at the right time. I'll talk more about that next week, but let me just give you a couple quick thoughts. I tell you what, when you need to have a peace talk, and you know what I'm talking about here, right? A peace talk. Let me encourage you, begin with some affirmation. Don't go right into the issue. Begin with some affirmation. Begin with some affirmation. Hey, be willing to take some blame. Express hurt instead of being hostile. Hey, also, just in life together sometimes, we just need to be more straight up with each other instead of beating around the bush. We're not mind readers, are we? We can't read each other's minds. You know, hey, if you've had a long day, instead of hinting around that one of you doesn't want to cook, maybe just try this approach. Hey, look, it's been a long day. You want to say, how about we go out to eat? Just try that. Just quit beating around the bush. Just be a little more direct. And then, hey, listen, when the heat gets turned up, let me give you two words to avoid. Strike them. The word never and the word always. You never do that. You always are like that. I tell you what, you be careful talking in absolute terms like that when you're discussing your spouse's behavior, because there's always usually an exception to that, and that doesn't do anything. That doesn't do anything but just heighten the argument, heighten the tension. It's accusatory. George Bernard Shaw said the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it's taken place. Communication's key. Saying the right words at the right time. And then number four, get this fourth strategy here. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 5. In Proverbs chapter 5, what I want you to see is this, the fourth strategy is fan the fire of romance, but don't get burned. And let me say a word about romance here. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad and streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. I'm telling you, man, listen. You got to make sure there's romance. You got to bring romance back in. And I tell you what, I am not like a great romantic, so don't take your advice from me. But I try to do a little study on it this week so I could talk intelligently for 30 seconds on this subject here of romance. I'm telling you, here's what I think we run into sometimes. I don't know about your situation, but ours. You know what, man? It's just easier at first, it seems like. I mean, for us now, 17 years later, you know, my wife's a school teacher, I'm a pastor, we have three children, we have their schedules, our schedules. I mean, here's what seems to happen. You have to continue to negotiate and fight for that time for each other. I mean, there was a time in our marriage for like the first, you know, we didn't have Melissa till I think we've been married for, goodness, probably 5 years, where, you know, the only person that, you know, tugged on her hand, tugged on her finger, put it, you know, rubbed on her back or asked for something was usually me. Now she'll tell you straight up. She'll say, listen, man, I got this. Three of them are just tugging at me this way, that way. It's going to take, it takes more work and more effort. And sometimes it's there's other factors that can get involved, and I'm telling you, Proverbs talks straight up about fanning the flame of romance. I just wrote down some thoughts here, man. Don't be shy about waltzing in the kitchen. I am no great dancer, all right? But every now and then you might just want to take a waltz in the kitchen. I tell you, here's a phrase for you. Rebirth the flirt. Figure out how to flirt again. It may sound silly, but it's not. Don't stop asking questions of each other. Hey, tell me about that. What was that like when you were six? And I know sometimes you've heard this story 1,000 times. Literally, stay in touch. Give gifts. And then ultimately, you know, you can't make any more time, so we have to figure out how to take time. So you have to fan that fire, fan that flame of romance. But then there's a warning here. Don't get burned. Look over at chapter 6, chapter 6, verse 27. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes and not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. Out of control fire is dangerous and it's destructive. There's some lies out there about being unfaithful. There are lies out there. I tell you, the chief among them is, it'll never happen to me. Another one is, hey, we're only friends. Some people will say, well, if it feels so good, it can't be so bad. I refer you to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 4. I can stop anytime I want. Proverbs 5:22 says, the iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he's held fast in the cords of his sin. And then we'll say stuff like, hey, nobody's getting hurt. You're in marriage, you protect the purity of your marriage relationship and your and faithfulness there. You're not married, you understand. You protect your purity because you want to bless in your marriage. Now, let me say this. You got an out-of-control fire going on. I'm telling you what, just off the cuff. And by the way, you know, this is always tricky. When you preach on something like marriage, I want you to listen. It can be hard to hear a half-hour sermon or whatever and try to absorb all this. You know, I mean, if we have folks that we can refer you to, we're willing to pray with you as pastors. We're willing to encourage you in the Lord. We have folks, by the way, that we can connect you with if you need to talk with someone, if you and your spouse need to talk with someone. There's some real dangerous addictions out there. Pornography. I mean, I could go on. I don't want to make it uncomfortable in a room such as this, but folks, I'm just telling you. Out of control fire is dangerous and destructive. There's physical cost, financial cost, emotional cost. Proverbs 4:23, it tells us, folks, listen, guard your heart. A picture of stoplight. Red light. I'm telling you, there are red lights. There are red lights out there. And I'm telling you, don't even go near that intersection. Don't even go near that intersection. But then I want you to hear the positive side. In marriage, there's a green light. And all I'm going to tell you is green means go. And that's probably about enough said about that. If you need more help with that, then, you know, you talk to somebody, read a book or something, you know. I mean, I'm telling you, man, enjoy your mate. I said this in other services, and I'm going to say it here, all right? You know what? Listen, there's some of us, you know, you'll sit there, and teenagers, I know you'll be like, if you see your mom and dad really mean, just they lay on a juicy, creepy kiss, and you're just like, oh, man, just take it, you know, yo, get out of here. I can't believe you're doing that. I know better. I know in the midst of you acting that like that's so gross. I know down deep, moms and dads, hear me. I'm not saying be stupid about it. But I know down deep, students, you would rather know that your parents have affection for each other than wonder if they ever kiss. or ever hold hands. Marriage is God's blessed sanctuary for how he created you. We need to lift high marriage. Amen? Amen. We need to lift it high. We need to protect it like we would protect our homes, because it's the foundation. Final strategy is simply this: treasure your mate as a gift from God. Proverbs 18:22, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs 19:14, house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. You see, do you get the sense there? That my mate is from the Lord. And I think back to what I said 17 years ago, the first phrase in that vow you heard on that video: I accept you as God's precious gift to me. Ask God to do a work in your life to cause you to treasure your mate. Give thanks to God today that he's blessed you with someone to walk through this life with. Cry out to him for mercy and for help where it's needed. And know that God isn't a far-off, distant God, but that God desperately loves and cares for your home, your marriage, your family, and he wants strong marriages. Proverbs is practical like this. It is. And I kind of took you through a lot of Proverbs. Hope that doesn't frustrate you, but really what I want you to see is, as you read through Proverbs, as you read some Proverbs every day, know this: God will make your marriage stronger. I believe it in faith. I do. He'll make your marriage stronger. Unless you just decide to reject his word, you know. But I'm believing you won't. But I come back to where it needs to start, starts with Christ. And if you're here today and you're not for sure, you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to sing a closing song, and I just want to invite you forward to let Jesus be for you what your spouse can't. Let him be your Savior. Let him be your sovereign. Let him be your Lord. Embrace his grace and mercy towards you, and let him then give you the gift of being a merciful mate. So if you're here today and you're not sure you know the Lord Jesus, your Lord and Savior, I'm going to invite you to come forward during the song, and we're going to pray with you. We can talk with you. You may just want to, right where you are, just pray, because this message is hard to hear. You just pray right where you are and ask for God to begin to work his miracle power, his great power in your life. Dedicate right here yourself to seeking to follow his strategies to marriage. And if you're here today, by the way, and you feel like this is where God is leading you to become a member of this particular church, you can come forward during this song too. We want you to know, we don't want you to have to go through leading your family, building your home by yourself. Father, I pray right now that you would help us to embrace your perfect will for our lives. That you would help us as individuals to put our faith and trust in you, Lord Jesus. That you would begin your great work in us. And you said in the Bible, Lord, that you'll be faithful to lead us. Oh, Lord God, I pray for our family. I pray for marriage. I pray for them in their life. I pray for their struggling in marriage. I pray for those who really have kind of ordinary marriage. Together, you come.